This is John Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 7th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Longtime CBOE executive Phil Slocum passed away September 3rd at the age of 69 from complications from appendiceal cancer. Slocum retired in 2017 after 42 years, his entire adult working career at the exchange. Slocum was appointed in 2015 as the firm's first chief risk officer. Here is the recap of his career in his own words from his LinkedIn profile. Phil Slocum joined the CBOE in 1975 as a management trainee and a trading floor price reporter. During the 70s and 80s, he coordinated trading floor, computer room, and office expansion projects and the design and successful relocation of the CBOE to a new building. During the next decade, Phil helped conceive and implement CBOE's trading automation. During the 90s, he directed CBOE's competitive efforts to win order flow commitments from member firms. In 1999, he became responsible for planning and directing all exchange trading functions. As head of the trading operations division, he was responsible for trading systems, help desk, floor operations, market data, intermarket linkage, post-trade processing, and telecommunications, with a primary focus on the conception, rollout, and enhancement of CBOE's hybrid trading system. In 2014, he facilitated negotiations with FINRA to transition most of CBOE regulatory services staff and functions to FINRA. In 2015, he led CBOE's acquisition of market data and analytics firm LiveVol. Phil was president of the CBOE LiveVol Board of Directors, a member of the CBOE PACT Board, a member of CBOE's Financial Disclosure and Controls Committee, and a trustee of the CBOE Retirement Plan. In December 2015, CBOE appointed Phil to be its first Chief Risk Officer. JLN wishes to offer our condolences to the Slocum family and his friends and former colleagues at the CBOE and options industry. Today, CBOE Europe derivatives launched with clearing provided by EuroCCP, CBOE's pan-European clearinghouse. The first trades were successfully executed and cleared, CBOE reported. Silvana Davi, a high school senior and daughter of Sylvia Davi, has penned a commentary, A Teenager's Perspective and Message on 9/11, 20 years later. Reflect, give back, and never forget. The commentary helps tell the story of the charity Tuesday's Children. IOSCO has published a paper titled Guidance for Intermediaries and Asset Managers Using Artificial Intelligence and Machine Learning. Broadridge has hired Ted Bragg and Jim Kwiatkowski to join the LTX leadership team to help develop a next-generation corporate bond trading platform. Bragg most recently served as vice president and head of fixed income at NASDAQ, and Kwiatkowski most recently was managing director and global head of transaction sales at the London Stock Exchange. That's a nice talent onload by Broadridge. Daniel Gorfein, former head of the CFTC's Lab CFTC, is looking to hire at his firm Gattaca Horizons LLC. He's looking for someone interested in fintech financial services policy and is a strong and effective writer. The Wall Street Journal reports American men are giving up on going to college and fallen behind as a record number of women head there. At the end of the 2020-2021 school year, women made up an all-time high of 59.5% of college students, while men were just 40.5%. Sounds like a good time to be a man at college, actually. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Postponing a return to office gets companies nowhere. COVID's Delta wave has employers deciding to extend work-from-home arrangements again because of all the uncertainties. So why pick January for a return? The planned autumn 2021 return to the office is being delayed until January, purportedly. That's when Apple Inc., Amazon.com Inc., Facebook Inc., Alphabet Inc., subsidiary Google, Microsoft Corp., and some other major employers of knowledge workers now say they expect people back at their desks 22 months after sending everyone home at the outset of the COVID-19 pandemic. My comment, Fox's concluding line is, but trying to wait out the pandemic seems to be a recipe for never going back to the office at all. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. How office culture has changed in the pandemic. From workers who went back ages ago, some employees have been toiling in cubicles for months while private offices sit empty, shifting rules and surprise donuts. A year and a half into the pandemic, many workers have yet to return to offices, but plenty others have been coming in since the early days of COVID-19, and they have much to say about what to expect. Some workers returned because their job descriptions required it, others because their bosses feared company culture would erode if they didn't. Some never left. Many say they have learned to live with constant uncertainty as they navigate shifting safety protocols, sudden quarantines, and occasional outbreaks. My comment, they had me at surprise donuts. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Toss the Clorox wipe, stock up on masks to be safe at work. Doctors and researchers recommend masking up and eating outdoors, even for those who are vaccinated. For workers heading back to the offices this fall, avoiding the highly contagious Delta variant of COVID-19 is likely at the top of their list of priorities. Delta spreads fast among those who are unvaccinated and unmasked, and it is also more transmissible among fully vaccinated people, according to the latest research. In May, half the students in an elementary class in Marin County, California, tested positive for the virus after exposure to an infected, unvaccinated teacher. The teacher reportedly took her mask off to read aloud to her students, according to a report published last week by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. My comment, it sounds like Sirius Cafe and the CBOT building should install more tables outside on the Financial Place Plaza. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was Traders Return with Trepidation to London's Iconic Metals Ring from Bloomberg. Second was Gensler's Brewing Battle with Robinhood Could Prove Bloody from the New York Post. Third was the Taliban invited Telegraph to tea and issued a chilling warning to the West from the Telegraph. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.